We are getting a number of letters from our readers and from also our listeners who have written NASA and complained, and they're getting a letter from Dr. Brown, the standard letter that you have a copy of.
Right.
I have received several of them where our listeners have written to NASA, and lo and behold, they got exactly the same letter that you have in your hands.
It's a form letter, yes.
Yeah, okay. We got 2 minutes, Richard. Make use of it.
Well, the key thing about Dr. Brown's letter is they are now going to go forward with their version of Hoagland's Mars, which, of course, is involved in this entire discussion because we now know that the message of Cydonia has to do with energy, an alternative to oil, and one of the reasons we're fighting in the Persian Gulf, but that's another show and another day. What I think people ought to do when they get this letter is to write back, and they ought to ask one specific question. Science is not about opinion. Science is about fact. On this program, the NASA PBS program, do you plan to test Hoagland's data and his hypothesis, or is it going to be more airy-fairy opinion and discussion, but without the specifics of what Hoagland and his colleagues have found? If it is not, then the program that NASA's planning to do is, to quote a George Bushism, a cruel hoax on the American people.
Okay. Well, there will be more to come on that issue, and of course, your tape is available through our organization. It's $24.95 and $4 P&H, and they can just simply send to us and get it. Hoagland's Mars is a very, very bluntly a magnificent tape.
Is that the Soviets have accepted space as a serious part of their national strategy, their national infrastructure, the long-term vision of what makes a great nation great. The American people and NASA and our folks seem to have viewed space much more as a kind of a short-term toy, as almost a frivolous plaything from time to time, and not put the solid long-term commitment of resources and money and expertise into it to make it pay off for society in the long term. And that's why we have now got to be very careful in terms of the Mars material, because if we're not careful, we're going to have Russian customs at the monuments of Mars before we get there.
One of the things they pointed out is that the Mir space platform, or the space station that they have up there now, is capable of going to Mars.
Exactly.
And that's something, ladies and gentlemen, that NASA has not told us. When I watched the show last night, I said, what? And what they're telling you is the reason they've got these long endurance programs, they've got guys up there for 6 months and almost a year at a time, is because what they plan to do someday is take that Mir space station out of orbit and go to Mars with it.
You know the cosmonaut Yuri Romanenko that they profiled periodically,
yeah.
And I was really glad to see them bring him out of kind of obscurity. Romanenko and his companions spent over an Earth year in Earth orbit in the Mir space station.
Wow.
When they landed, the first thing Romanenko said, and it was quoted in the New York Times, was, now we can go to Mars. And then all references to that slip on his part disappeared. And I've been trying to unearth the quote ever since. The point is, the Russians had a long-term strategy about going to Mars and using the Mir technology, the Mir space station, as the ship, you know, to go, because you add rockets to it. That space station does not care whether it's in Earth orbit or it's halfway between the Earth and Mars or it's in Mars orbit. It becomes a self-contained laboratory with cosmonauts that could, in fact, be the basis of a Mars expedition.
I would not be surprised if one day they put a new crew on there and take it and just simply say, we're taking it out of Earth orbit and we're going to go travel a little bit.
Well, see, this is another reason why we need to get serious about what we found at Cydonia.
Yep.
Because we now have the reason to go to Mars, meaning an extraterrestrial set of artifacts, and that's what the NASA briefings are all about, and that's what the tape is all about. But the Russians, without any additional inventions, have the means to go.
Right now. Okay, Richard Hoagland, hang on if you would.
Up until the last few hours before the ground war, I thought that we kind of got our act together in the sense that the Soviet Union and George Bush and this administration in this new world order had kind of tacitly agreed that we would do anything now.
now together, that we would look at the benefits of joint cooperation. With Gorby's endgame maneuvers trying to rescue Saddam Hussein, for whatever reason, all right, I have been forced to rethink my thinking on that point. And I believe as we now move beyond this Persian Gulf problem, and there are a lot of things we could talk about in terms of what's going to happen next, but as we move into the out the political dimensions of what the world is going to look like as we continue this unifying process of the rule of law, and we now turn our attention to bigger, more extraordinary possibilities, of which the verification of the Mars artifacts are certainly, in my mind, a major contender, that we not also ignore the potential for the maneuvering for advantage on the part of the Soviet Union in looking at those objects and artifacts. And the very fact that the Soviets have the technology to go to Mars tomorrow with men and women, if they so choose, and we're still at the starting gate, not even looking at realistically the possibility that what we have been describing on this program on Mars is there, brings up many, many questions in my mind about our preparedness, our readiness to take advantage of what lies out there and which we, as free people, men and women, should be sharing, you know, together with everyone else. Which, of course, gets us back to the NASA briefing and getting people up to speed. And I am pleased to report, as of this morning, we are making significant political progress within NASA to get a whole new level of appreciation of the reality of the monuments of Mars, the artifacts, the geometry, the mathematics, and the means of verifying what they mean. And in the coming weeks, I will be able to report more fully on what I mean by that. But part of it may also include the Soviets, and I will report on that in more detail, and all I can say is just stay tuned. But it is something now that the war is behind us that we should turn our attention to larger, broader, more important issues, because there's nothing that's going to affect the human race more dramatically than the verification that we are not alone, and the development of that technology in the hands of only one side of the New World Order is something that we simply cannot stand by and allow to happen.
The U.S. government has just funded the SETI project, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, another $12 million.
Yep. Well, we're beginning to see a gradual endgame of our own in this field, which is that there is something out there. It's only a matter of time until we, quote, find it. I would wish that there'd be a little bit of more forthcoming honesty on the part of the agencies about what's where and who knows what. And that, of course, gets back to the briefings that we've given NASA and the tape and all that business.
At least we have a minute and a half. Recently, one of the Soviet cosmonauts admitted to the world that when he was up there, when they were up in the Mir spacecraft, okay, that they encountered a UFO. The Soviets are rather open about this.
Not in the program that we saw the other night.
Pardon? No.
Tabloid report.
No. This is from TASS. It says, the show got sky-high advertisement when cosmonauts Anatoly Solovyov and Alexander Balandin, currently on a space mission aboard the Mir station, said over Soviet radio that they met an unidentified flying object. This is from TASS now, not a tabloid.
Dated when?
This is about a year ago.
I have to see it to know what they mean. See, UFO is a generic term.
Mm-hmm.
Our guys saw UFOs, all right, which means unidentified flying objects.
Yep.
NORAD tried to find out whether they were satellites, Pegasus satellites, whatever. The astronauts tried to photograph them. General McDivitt now, who was the commander on Gemini 4, our first spacewalking mission, he saw something that was never identified. There's a far cry from a UFO and an extraterrestrial spacecraft. And I would have to talk to these guys and see the reports, and even then, you don't really know what the Soviets are up to politically. Look at what Gorby did in the last few days of the life of Saddam Hussein. Ask yourself what the political rationale for a government-controlled news agency putting out a story like that in consistency with the other TASS story about the Verona sighting.
All right, I thank you.
And unless you get some character, like yours truly, that comes up with a situation that is predominantly listener-supported, which this program is.
Right.
Because the radio network does not pay my paycheck. They just simply carry the program on a barter basis, as does the local radio station. Which means that the only people who pay me, I get my paycheck from a non-profit organization that's supported by our members. Therefore, I don't care who I offend by telling what is verifiably the truth.
Well, I agree with you, Chuck, and a little bit of my money is going into your pocket because
well,
I support you, so...
Well, we thank you very much.
Okay, Chuck, thank you a lot.
Take care.
What we're trying to do on this program is to tell you stuff maybe a year or 2 years before the mainstream press tells you, because by the time they do, it's too late. But we also try to not tell you stuff until we have enough to verify what we talk about so we don't scare you when you shouldn't be scared. It's a tough line to walk, but we've been doing it successfully now for 4 years.
And I would like this afternoon to give everyone an update on where we stand with that. I have in front of me a series of letters from U.S. senators and congressmen who have received letters from their constituents regarding the end machine and the status of a NASA test. And with your permission, Chuck, I will read excerpts from a couple of these.
Okay, go ahead.
Senator Herbert Cole, who is one of the senators from Wisconsin, from NASA, dated February 25. Dear Senator Cole, thank you for your December 21, 1990 letter on behalf of Mr. Delvin Orth. Mr. Orth advocates the development of an invention for the generation of electrical energy known as the end machine, being developed by Dr. Bruce DePalma of Santa Barbara, California.
Hey, hey.
All right. It is worth noting at the outset that while NASA is aware of Dr. DePalma's research, the end machine is not a NASA project. Dr. DePalma's work has been conducted at his laboratory and has been funded by private sources. Then there are some in intervening boilerplate, but this is the important paragraph. While the claims for the end machine have not been verified to date, NASA is interested in viewing a demonstration of the end machine and looks forward to evaluating the results of any tests of such a concept.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Cole, in writing to Mr. Orth, who was the guy who got this particular thing going, said, "Dear Mr. Orth, in close his reply, I recently received an answer to an inquiry I made on your behalf. I hope you found the information useful. If you have any other matters of concern, please do not hesitate to contact me again. Sincerely, Herbert Cole, United States Senator." So, Mr. Cole has written him back. All right, and this is what he has said, if I can find the right letter here. Okay. "Dear Senator Cole, I received permission from Richard Hoagland to provide a copy of Hoagland's Mars to you. The tape covers a presentation Mr. Hoagland made to NASA and details how the work of Mr. Hoagland and others have led to a hypothesis of a new energy process common to Earth and other planets explored by our unmanned space missions. It is thought that this hypothesis provides the explanation for understanding why Dr. DePalma's end machine works. I hope you will find this video as informative as it relates directly to my recent request regarding a NASA inquiry into the end machine technology of Dr. DePalma."
So the bottom line is NASA wants to take a look.
There is a division now, an office set up at NASA Lewis.
Wow.
Has been delegated to bring in all relevant background material and to basically digest this and to return answers to inquiring members of Congress. What Mr. Orth wants to do, and which I gave him permission to do, is to make copies of the tape and to provide it to his legislators, both congressmen and senators,
mm-hmm.
so they can see the context of why discussion of an end machine is not out of the blue, but in fact has a basis in the discoveries of our own U.S. space program. What I would recommend for people in the audience who have bought copies of Hoagland's Mars through you and any other place is that they do the same thing. There is a window of opportunity now in terms of the national energy policy. There are people in Washington who are asking questions like, did we really fight a war for oil? Did we really fight it so that OPEC could lower or set standard prices up through the 21st century? Are we really recommending opening the Alaska Preserve and other drillings just so we can continue the oil economy that we know and do not enjoy? Or are there important alternatives overlooked or deliberately overlooked by the president's plans, and it's up to the people to provide those to their legislators? And I would highly recommend Mr. Orth's example for everyone to follow.
Hear, hear. I will say amen to that. Great.
Tell us for the next, say, 2 or 3 minutes, what's going on with your NASA video? When will NASA finally show your video? Is there a date yet?
We don't have a date yet. In fact, the politics on that are very turgid. I have placed several calls to Dr. Bondurant following the transmittal of this letter from Dr. Brown to all those folks all over the country who wanted to know why the heck the first program was stopped back in December of last year. Dr. Brown has been sending out thousands of copies. I think you've got a couple. Your listeners have had copies, and they've sent copies to me, where they basically say that they're going to include other theoretical opinions and theoreticians on the subject of life on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have, and they rescheduled NASA's version of the program, Hope on Mars. Well, I tried taking calls to Dr. Bondurant, who was producing NASA's version at Lewis, and I've tried now for 2 months, and I have received no return calls. They will not return my calls. So we don't know what's going on.
You are persona non grata.
I don't think I'm anybody's favorite boy at NASA Lewis.
You have been a bad man.
Well, I've been a bad man to the extent that what we've done, as you know, is put out the real version, which is the briefing as given to the 4,000 Lewis employees in March of 1990, updated with some new material.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it out as the title, Hoagland's Mars, the NASA-Sidonia Briefing, Volume 1. And we're getting an exquisite amount of feedback, very positive feedback from people who've seen it. We have astronauts now in Houston seriously looking at it. We have some astronauts who, as you know, have left the agency and will form their own private companies.
Mm-hmm.
One of the science advisors, one of the project scientists in one of those companies, in the absence of his boss, saw the tape the other day, and he has been an absolute outright skeptic on the subject of artifacts, energy, decoding equations, the whole, you know, what we've been discussing. He saw the tape that you offer through For the People,
mm-hmm.
and he has now become a convert. In fact, there's a serious discussion of us coming to Houston and meeting with some of these folks to set up a conference which would move our research down the line to the next data point. Because we are seeing now in the solar system, we are seeing absolute evidence that the equations and the energy we have talked about in terms of decoding the artifacts, that energy is manifest in the workings and rotations and energy production of the various bodies that make up the solar system that we have been busy exploring for the last 30 years with NASA spacecraft and Soviet spacecraft and European spacecraft.
Okay, one quick question.
The Russians are, I think, a little bit more open than here in the USA on matters of what some people would call fringe space or fringe science. TASS, of course, reports of their UFO sightings as very serious business. When there was a landing in Varazhnev, they simply called it as they saw it. Of course, I saw all of the footage of the physical traces left of the landing, and they get very serious about this stuff. They're very concerned when somebody invades the airspace of Mother Russia. And of course, as you know, we published all of the TASS stories on UFO sightings, also one of their cosmonauts that said a ship pulled up along Mir. How come here in the USA, NASA, who has the photographs, as you want to know, doesn't want to talk openly to us taxpayers about the fact that there's a city or monuments on Mars?
Well, I don't have absolute information or knowledge. I mean, we're dealing in the area of intelligent speculation. You know, there's a whole cadre of people in think tanks all over the United States that spend more time, or used to, worrying about what was going on in the Kremlin, what was going on in Brezhnev's mind, or in Khrushchev's mind, or, you know, before radical things, Gorbachev's mind. it's a dangerous speculative area, but there are a few things that we can take as given. One is that the American government has now a very dismal record of lying to the American people, as individuals in the American government as well as collectively. And all we have to do is think back to Watergate and Iran-Contra and the fact that a couple nights ago on Nightline, people was interviewing two reporters for the Financial Times of London who had good evidence and put together a good story that up to a month before the beginning of the air war against Saddam Hussein, this government was allowing, with full foreknowledge and affirmation, high-tech equipment and parts and military hardware to be shipped to Jordan to be then transshipped to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at those forces, vast market forces, where the bottom line is nothing but the bottom line, and then you look at the potentials in our data, in the Mars data, in the equations, the physics, the alternative engineering for energy that would free not just Americans, but everybody on this planet to live the kind of life and in the kind of respect and good fortune that they should to have a potential for fulfilling lifestyle that doesn't cost an arm and a leg and cause you to invest umpteen hours a day and put your kids in daycare so you go out and make a few dollars. You got to say to yourself that the reason it's not happening is not because the physics isn't there, but because it's in someone's interest not to have it happen. The only redress is the only reason that the Kurds have finally got aid now is if enough Americans get sick and tired of it and make their will known through the Congress and demand to have changes, demand the options that the physics and the knowledge we have now won give us.
I know we mentioned Troy Reid on this topic a few times.
Yeah.
I have had extensive discussions now with him and Evelyn. One of the really remarkable, quote, coincidences, which I don't think is a coincidence, is the fact that it's looking very much now as if the theoretical description of the magnetic matter is to be found in the geometry and equations of the monuments of Mars. Troy's son saw the video for the first time a few nights ago. And it was really a funny story because they said that he went into the office, you know, to watch the 83 minutes. And then 83 minutes come and go and there's no Michael. And then an hour comes and go and there's no Michael. And when he comes out, Troy said he had this bizarre, strange look on his face and he said, "Dad, that's your motor, that's your machine on there." And he'd written down the equations and, of course, key parts of the mathematics that are involved in the secret, you know, the engineering secrets that they have kept restricted until they secure the final patent rights, apparently are in the video. So we are discussing how we can help each other. And in fact, they very graciously wanted to know if I would like to become affiliated with Reed Magnetic Motors, and I said I certainly would entertain the idea. I mean, if our theoretical basis for seeing this working in the solar system, having decoded this set of ruins on the planet Mars, the results of a pragmatic, real-world, bottom-line, saving energy device for the American society, obviously, I'd like to be involved. So we are moving in that on that front, and you're going to be involved too. We have a couple of surprises for you.
Good.
We cannot reveal them yet, but your offer to do something in this fashion at the Telford may in fact be coming true sooner than you might think.
Well, I like it. I like it.
Called Feinstein Associates in Cranston,
yes.
Rhode Island.
Yes.
That they have a book called Breakthroughs of Cydonia. Is it the same book that you're talking about?
It's not a book. It's a manuscript that I did specifically for Alan's subscriber list. And it does detail not only the political background of the on-again, off-again Hoban special, but also the science. It gets into Cydonia and how we think the physics is working that we have decoded. And Alan is providing that to his subscriber list.
How are you associated with the Feinstein?
I've known Alan for several years. He has asked me to come up a couple times to sign a lot of books. When Monuments was first published, I signed a lot of books for his folks. And he has been following our activities. He was involved in the creation of the Sierra Leone stamp, we went to the government of Sierra Leone and got them to issue a stamp commemorative series.
Yes, I have a couple of...
commemorating the research, and of course I cite those in the Sedonia briefing when I was at Lewis. I held this up as an example of the geopolitical moves that were important to force verification. And when Elon called me up after the big cancellation of NASA's shuttle and said, would you write something for my readers? I said, sure. So that's what we've done.
Okay, now I also got a tape from him three or four months ago. I don't believe it's the 83-minute tape, but it is, I assume, similar to the one that you have.
That is the unedited version. That was the raw briefing without the updated graphics and the flyover and the other stuff that we have added to the tape. And our arrangement with Alan was he could provide those at cost to his subscribers, people who had, for instance, been interested in the stamp or whatever, so they could have a background on what the research entailed.
Extremely interesting tape. Very interesting.
You ought to see the new one.
You have
not seen
the new one.
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, the new one is absolutely a killer. Just a killer.
Incidentally, gentlemen, while I got you on the line and we're talking about the tape, I have had two very, very serious inquiries from Hollywood this week.
Okay.
Based around the tape, there are people who are talking about doing a made-for-television movie on the monuments of Mars, and it has been triggered by seeing the NASA Sedonia briefings.
Wow.
I leave here. I was supposed to come east on Monday after I finished the Whole Life Expo.
Yeah.
And fly back to the East Coast. I am not doing that now. I am going to Hollywood. Mayor Nickel, and I will keep you informed, but there are some interesting developments on that front.
Okay.
One of the topics in this catalog from Feinstein, and I don't believe I've heard anybody mention it, is a program known as the Enterprise Mission.
That is our educational effort based in Washington, D.C., which Alan was very, very helpful in getting launched. In fact, Alan donated a considerable amount of money to help us put the pilot program together in Dunbar Senior High in the inner city of Washington. And we have now signed contracts with the foundation in Washington. We have met with many national corporations that I'm not going to go into here, but there are names you would recognize, household names. And when I get back to the East Coast, one of the things that I have to do after the astronaut memorial dedication on May 9th is go to Washington and meet with the Enterprise people, the foundation, some of the executives. And it was Alan Feinstein who basically, when no one else would help, he got that off the ground with us, and we are very, very grateful.
It seemed like an extremely interesting program, and it's going to increase the interest in math and science for all the young grade school children.
Well, we've talked about Enterprise on this show many times, and now that we are official and now that we're going to be able to expand it and clone it and bring it to a school near you, you know, that line, I'm sure we're going to do more shows on it. We're going to tell people how they can get involved, how their school can get involved, what kind of curriculum development that we're engaged in. It's been a year of setup and testing, and we're now ready to move into the next phase. In time, of course, for what I'd like to see, which is a lot of kids tuning into those NASA images from Mars Observer in 1993, among other things.
All right, Richard, Richard, hang on if you would.
The phenomenon of aliens in our midst is something that this culture is gradually coming to deal with. Now, people are going to listen carefully what I'm going to say next, because I hope they listen carefully, because here is my approach. We have obviously done a careful study, or what we think is a beginning careful study, on, quote, aliens in our midst, because we found aliens on Mars, at least in terms of ruins and artifacts, and we've got predictable scientific objective material that is working. What we have been looking to see in the reports of people who think they are having contact with aliens is that the same numbers, the same message, the same physics, the same geometry, all those things are coming out of their reports. And I gotta tell you, they are. That raises the question, how can these people know things that they do not experience directly in terms of our work, because we hadn't published at this point? Where are they getting their information? What was their source?
You got me.
The obvious answer is their experience is somehow real, and their source are other folks who are visiting here and know the same stuff has been left on Mars. Now, that's where things get very complicated very quickly. Because if that's true, then you have to ask, what is the purpose of the visits? What's the purpose of communicating, however obliquely, the information? And is it the same purpose of expanding our potential as we are finding in decoding the monuments of Mars themselves? And then you come back to Whitney Strieber and people like him who are writing about this experience not as an enlightening and an expanding one for the human species, but as a very fearful experience.
All right, Alice, I thank you for your call. Regrettably, I am out of time this hour.
My conclusion is that with the current state of the art, the end machine is not the path of first choice. But there's an alternative technology, and if you follow the show in the next few weeks, the Reed approach, which does not bring this energy out as a coherent electrical current as a voltage, but as a mechanical torque, that to me is very exciting as an up-and-comer, and much more cheaply.